Forgiveness involves at least two people, the one who needs it and the one who grants it. Today on Insight for Living, our focus is on the latter. Every one of us has been offended by someone. We've been the recipient of rude behavior, a violation of trust, or attacks on our character. The deep emotional wounds linger. In this message, Chuck Swindoll will describe the restorative function of extending forgiveness, even when it's undeserved. As you listen, be thinking about broken relationships that need attention. Chuck titled his message, Looking Back, Finding Healing Through Forgiveness.
If you would, take your worship folder and slip it into Matthew chapter 5 at verse 23. We'll begin there in a few moments, but first I want to read for you from Matthew 18. So mark Matthew 5, 23, and when you've done that, turn ahead to Matthew 18. I'll begin reading at verse 21. You know, it's a scriptural injunction to read from the scriptures. The Apostle Paul makes it clear to Timothy when he sets forth the directives for the church that there be reading of the scriptures, and you don't forsake the reading of the Word of God. It's so familiar to all of us that we forget we are reading the Word of God, the Word of God. The only inspired literature that you'll ever read in all of your life that has been breathed out by God is from the Bible. So when we read it, we're reading what God would say if Christ were here among us speaking. Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents, that would equal about $10 million. One who owed about $10 million was brought to him, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, about $19. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart.
You're listening to Insight for Living. After today's study, we'll invite you to download a free MP3 of today's complete presentation. It's available for you right now at insightworld.org/findhealing. And now Chuck's message called Looking Back, Finding Healing Through Forgiveness.
Forgiveness is a required course in the curriculum of the Christian life. It isn't an elective. And I should add that the exams are always tough to take. If you have ever gone through the process of seeking forgiveness from another person, or sometimes even harder, giving forgiveness to one who asks, you know how tough it can be. But I have found, quite honestly, that there is nothing more healing than a forgiving spirit. Really nothing. There are not many things that we all have in common, but I can tell you one. We all have someone we need to forgive. Every person hearing my voice has been offended by someone. The offense may be a personal hurt. It may be a professional hurt. It may be something as vicious as abuse. It may be the pain of a fractured relationship that once was close, as with a former mate or a former roommate from school or a coach or a pastor or a parent or a grown child. And so my words do not fall on deaf ears if you will promise to listen. Before I go any further in this message, I should explain that I'm staying on a subject that I introduced last time, because as I finished that message, I sensed it was really unfinished without this dimension being emphasized. I should also add, and I say this not in any way to be self-serving, but I don't know that I can remember a message from which I have received such overwhelming response as last time. I have not only been talked to here at the church by different ones of you who have left the meeting last time, but I have been stopped at grocery stores and the message was brought up with words of gratitude. I was putting gas in my car this last week, and someone walked over from another car whom I didn't know, who said that they were here and heard the message and it was precisely what was needed for them. No reason to go any further. That's a little unusual, especially when it has been almost back to back through the week, which sort of reinforced my feeling when I finished what I said last time about looking back and clearing away the trash of regret. Many of you will remember that. My hope had been just to go on to looking ahead and viewing the priorities we want to pursue with passion as we gain a new perspective on this new year. But if you're like me, you've done a little soul searching as a result of what you heard last time. You've revisited some places where the locusts have eaten, if you will recall, some of the barren spots of your life. And quite likely, there was something about the barrenness that had to do with the need for forgiveness. Perhaps someone else needing to forgive you, or more importantly, as I will emphasize today, the need for you to forgive someone else. There is one thing I find that every group of Christians, and not necessarily just Christians, but every group has in common. We all have someone we need to forgive. Every one of us has known the experience of being offended, hurt, perhaps even to the violent point of abused, taken advantage of, the common term today, ripped off, the term from the scriptures, offended. Every person sitting in every seat of this building has someone that you either have forgiven or you need to forgive. It's not nearly as encouraging, but it's very possible that the same number of us has caused an offense. We have been the offender, and there is a need to seek forgiveness from the one we have hurt. Now, I have for you today some principles from the scriptures, but I have for you, I think, even as important as that, a surprise. I'm going to do something today I have not done in 40 years of ministry. This is a first. I'll keep you waiting. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Some of you wonder, what are we in for, this man? What is going to happen? You'll be grateful for it, I'm sure. It's a surprise, however. It was when I finished the message that I felt it was incomplete. In fact, I talked with Cynthia that Sunday afternoon, and I said, it isn't over. I've got to return to the subject of forgiveness. She agreed. And that's why we're here today. And that's why I want to look at both sides of the same coin. First, when you are the offender, that's Matthew 5, and when you are the offended, that's Matthew 18. Keep them separate, and it will help you work through the details of your homework, as I do the same with mine. Matthew chapter 5. The context is the great Sermon on the Mount. It's a brief sermon, but most popular sermon ever preached, the one most deeply analyzed by preachers through the centuries. It is the one that has withstood the passing of centuries of time, and it continues to strike at the heart of issues still relevant. In verses 23 and 24, and forgive us, Lord, we're coming right in the middle of the sermon, and I haven't taken the time to establish it sufficiently, but time doesn't allow. The subject turns to reconciliation. When there's something wrong between you and someone else, and you are the one who has been wrong, you have caused the breakdown of the relationship. So the setting is a person who is coming for worship, who is referred to here as presenting the gift at the altar. In the first century, that's how you worshiped. You brought an offering. The offering was either a living animal or a part of an animal, or it was something you brought to the altar and you sacrificed it on the altar. And in doing so, you connected in prayer and sought the Lord's forgiveness or the Lord's direction or the Lord's favor, just as we do now when we pray. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, stop. Look. In prayer, you remember that someone has a reason to hold a grudge against you. The details are not mentioned because the possibilities are as wide as human nature. This is the only time I know in the scriptures where we are told to stop praying and immediately take care of something. But that is exactly what Jesus teaches. The person has come for worship. The person is presenting a gift and is suddenly seized with the thought, someone is holding a grudge against me. It's perfectly natural that that happens when we come to God in prayer, because we are vulnerable, open, waiting before the Lord. And in that state, the Lord has a way of connecting with us and communicating something extremely sensitive and direct. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. Observe, you and I, in this case, are the offender. What do we do? He says, in effect, stop praying. Leave your offering there before the altar. Looks to me like the worship is interrupted. That's how immediate the Lord expects obedience. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. Now notice the order of importance. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then, next in order, come back and present your offering. Four words: stop, go, reconcile, return. Stop the praying. Don't go any further. Don't ignore the uneasiness. Don't silence the voices that are telling you this is wrong. You have been wrong. You have caused this offense. She's holding that against you. You've not made this right. Stop. First, go and reconcile. The key word, of course, in verse 24 is reconcile. Be reconciled. It's a colorful Greek term. The root verb means to change, to alter something. But it is joined with a prefix that says through, to go through the process of bringing about a change. Isn't that helpful? To go through the altering of the relationship so that there is healing, there is relief. One reliable authority says to change enmity for friendship, bringing about mutual concession in place of mutual hostility. Right now, in this case, there is a hostile relationship. After reconciliation, the hostility has dissipated. You've made it right. Why? Because reconciliation has healing qualities. It brings healing to the offended and, interestingly, healing to the offender. Another says, seeing to it that the angry brother or sister renounce his or her hostility. I can testify from personal experience and certainly from a knowledge of the Word of God that reconciliation has healing qualities within it. But they are not released unless and until the offender does what is right. Not until the offender does what is right. Ideally, you go face to face. No words of blame or rationalization, no excuses, no attempts to make it less than what it was, no reason to exaggerate either. But there is the going, please observe the word, go first, be reconciled, then come back and finish your time of worship. It's your move. It is not the move of the person who is offended, it is your move as the offender. You lose thought of status, age, maturity. You do not rehearse the wrongs the other person did. You deal with your slate, which is soiled, and it will not be erased until you do what is right. You are not even responsible for the other person's reaction. That's the Lord's work. And you may not find an instant reconciliation at the moment. It may take the offended a while to believe you've come, or to work through the words, yes, I forgive you. But the point is, you do what is right, and you leave the response and the results to the Lord. I have two principles that I want to leave with you, but then we'll go to Matthew 18 quickly before the surprise. Principle number one, God is honored by immediate obedience. God is honored by immediate obedience. I do not mean to be melodramatic when I say the person could die if you wait. You don't want that person dead with that on your conscience. You don't want to come first to the funeral and live with what might have been the regret, the trash of the past. Don't wait. The Lord is honored by immediate obedience. Second principle. Others are healed by vulnerable confession. You go, you spell out the offense as you understand it, There is no blame. There is no listing of things that the other person should have or could have done. You take responsibility. You go through the process of bringing about a change. This is right, but this is not easy. The word easy doesn't appear in these two verses. And if you have ever done that, you could testify on your own, this is not easy, but it is right. I have done this on a number of occasions, and it has always, always benefited. It has never backfired. Now then, there's the other side, Matthew 18. Thank you for listening so carefully. We're covering a lot of ground, and more could be said by way of application. I'm going to leave it there. Now we've changed not only to another chapter in Matthew, we have changed in context from the offender to the offended, and you're now in this role for the sake of understanding. In this case, Peter has been offended. Verse 21 begins in Matthew 18. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter thought he was pretty magnanimous when he gave the number seven, because the rabbis taught in that era three times, but not the fourth. Rabbi Ben Hanina wrote, he who begs forgiveness from his neighbor must not do so more than three times. Rabbi Ben Yehuda wrote, if a man commits an offense once, they forgive him. If he commits an offense a second time, they forgive him. If he commits an offense a third time, they forgive him. The fourth time, they do not forgive. Peter said up to seven times. He doubled the number and added one for good measure, hoping to be commended. He wasn't commended. The Lord answers, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And it doesn't mean on the 491st time you can punch his lights out. No. Someone said to me following the first morning service, a good comment, said he has heard an expositor say 70 times seven means you forgive so often that you don't remember the first time you forgave. Isn't that good? It's an infinite number of times. It's limitless. It is limitless. 70 times seven is a colloquialism for don't stop. Forgive every time. Forgive everyone. Forgive. Forgive.
Let me encourage you to listen again tomorrow and again Monday. This message is among the most highly requested in the history of Insight for Living because it speaks to an issue that's common to us all. Plus, when Chuck concludes his message next week, he'll turn the microphone over to his wife, Cynthia, who shares a heart-rending story of personal forgiveness and redemption. The title of this message is Looking Back, Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. To learn more about this ministry or Chuck Swindoll, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Now, for a limited time, we're making Chuck's two-part series available to you without cost or obligation. All you need to do is pick up the phone and give us a call or go online, and we'll make sure you have access to these messages. Again, the two-part set is called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/findhealing. As a result of the global pandemic, along with the violence taking over our streets, we're feeling a renewed sense of urgency to tell the truth about Jesus. These factors have fueled our fire to take this message to all 195 countries of the world. And you can join us in responding to the Great Commission of Jesus to make disciples around the world. We call our Great Commission strategy Vision 195. Perhaps the best way to maximize your giving is to become a monthly companion. In this relationship, you agree to give an automated donation every month. And as a monthly companion, you'll be doing for someone else what someone once did for you. To become a monthly companion today, go to insight.org/monthly companion. Or call us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. And to give a one-time donation, go online to insight.org. Then, when you contact us, be sure to ask how you can download the two free messages called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. It's almost impossible to escape the pervasive news these days. It's everywhere. And most of us are craving a break from the TV and a reprieve from the images of rage, disease, and civil unrest. In this volatile season, Insight for Living Ministries has continued to serve as a safe harbor where good news is celebrated. Many tell us that the Bible teaching from Chuck Swindoll provides a refreshing getaway from the chaos and confusion of our times. Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions, and we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
In this hostile, meat-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity.
Become a regular monthly supporter by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Be sure to listen tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues the message on Finding Healing Through Forgiveness, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Looking Back, Finding Healing Through Forgiveness, was copyrighted in 2002, 2008, and 2017. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.